Welcome, welcome, welcome. If this is your first time tuning in, wherever you are tuning in from, let me introduce myself. Okay. Dr. Samaria M. Colbert. I am a licensed therapist. I have over 16 years of experience. I'm a published author. I've written over 60 books. I am an entrepreneur. I own a private practice called Kingdom Creative Counseling. And it is a wonderful place located here in Greensboro, North Carolina. And one of the major differences is I do use faith-based principles to bring about lasting change. And welcome. I am so grateful for all those who tuned in, who purchased your planner. Welcome. So today we're going to talk about an interesting topic. I started the year off really talk about growth mindset and how do you start your year off right, and how do you meet your goals. And so I want to stay in that momentum. I am going to go back and start talking a little bit more about some of your mental, emotional, your spiritual health as well. But today, to keep the momentum going as far as your kingdom assignment, your kingdom success, and how you become successful in different areas of your life, I will talk about that. So today's gonna be real simple. We're gonna talk about the pros and cons of being a full-time entrepreneur. Okay, for those who listened to the last one, I talked about my entrepreneur journey. Well, I didn't do that last time. I talked about how I started my part-time hustle became my full-time. Last week, I talked about 10 things that you need to do before you leave your employment. And I said, I do not recommend that you leave your employer without a plan. Okay. I love me some Jesus and I love faith, but faith is not justified foolishness. Okay. We have to use wisdom. Now, today's is very simple. And again, it's not meant to brag, but it's really meant to encourage you. It's called pros and cons of being a full-time entrepreneur. There are some pros. There are more pros than cons, as I will say. But I just wanted to just encourage someone, particularly in the healthcare field. I mentioned this in our last session. Believe it or not, people think that you're in the healthcare field, got a whole bunch of degrees, that you just automatically know everything. But you are really taught treatment. Clinical treatment, whatever your healthcare issue is, but we're not necessarily taught entrepreneurship and how that the interchange works. And I was saying in the last time that when I started my journey into entrepreneurship, other therapists were not very helpful. Some of them were very discouraging. As a matter of fact, I remember I went to a training. This is some years ago, and when I went to training, even though at that time I still worked a full-time job and a part-time, I remember we would introduce ourselves. And so I never really would introduce this myself from the company that I worked for because I'm not trying to advertise. Listen, love y'all if you listen to this. I'm trying to be full time. So I ain't no need to be associated my name with somebody that I work for. Okay. So I will always introduce myself from my private practice, which is again Kingdom Creative Counseling. And I never forget, I was sitting in a room full of people and I introduced myself. I'm Samaria. I'm a licensed therapist and my name, my company. I'll never forget, I was sitting there and cool, just connected with different clinicians. And one person was like, oh my God, I could never do that. And I was like, huh? And another young lady, she was provisionally licensed. So before you get your full licensure in the state of North Carolina, you had to be provisionally licensed. You had to sit under clinical supervision. And she was like, oh, I always wanted to start my own private practice. And the other clinician was like, oh, you know, because they don't teach us the skills of how to build your practice. And in the healthcare field, which is a lot more regulated, we're not the same as coaches, we're not the same as consultants. We are clinical and we operate under your license, and your license you have to go through your state board and all that. So it's a little bit more regulated. But they're, oh, no. And the provision license, like, yeah, I always thought I always wanted my own private practice. But again, your provision license. So, of course, to my licensure, they did discourage you from starting your own private practice when you're provisional. Oftentimes, you don't even get you you don't really get a lot of the benefits until you're fully licensed. And I just remember feeling like, man, you know, and I didn't take it in a bad way, but I wanted to just encourage the one who had just gotten her provisional license. And I remember I gave her my phone number. She was hearing from someone, even at that time, even though I hadn't gone full time yet, I still didn't have these negative connotations with having my own. And so I gave her my phone number, I gave her my card, and I said, hey, if you ever need anything, if you ever, whenever you're ready to start your own private practice, just give me a call, because I wanted to encourage her. And I say that to say, this is not no shade against other clinicians. When you're doing something that, believe it or not, it's not as hard as people think, but it is something you have to be intentional about. Sometimes people that don't want to do it, or they're scared about it, or they're fearful, they will express their fears, and it can be discouraging. So my goal is to encourage, okay? Not to brag, but to encourage. And again, as I always say, with my entrepreneurial journey, I don't speak numbers, because I am in the field of helping people heal. And I do that in different ways, not just therapy. I write books, I do training courses, I train other people, I do consulting work, all those things. But I don't want to come across it. But I don't talk about numbers, because when we're dealing with people's pain, you don't want to give them a wrong view of how you perceive. You don't want to give them a wrong view, like you're motivated by numbers, okay? Particularly when you're dealing with people who are in pain. If your goal is to serve others, it will reward you. Okay. All right. We'll award you. There's something else I was going to say, but it slipped my mind. What else I was going to say? Anyway, I was going to say also, but remember, whenever you do in business and ministry, whatever you do, there's always going to be a backside. And there's a business side. You have to keep aware of contracts and monies and funding and taxes and all that. There's always a backside that you have to really be due diligent about. So pros and cons of being a full-time entrepreneur, okay? No particular order. And it's meant to encourage those who want to. If you don't want to, that is fine. This is not the video for you, for those who want to go full-time. One, the pros are pros and con is that time. You own technically your own time. You can do as you please. The pros and cons is that you have to con is that you have to be more disciplined with your time. When you work for an agency and you work for an organization, your time is, for the most part, it is marked out by how the agency sees that you have to work. So they want you to see X amount of people per day. You can get up there, or you can get look up in the morning. You see how many clients you have to see, all the paperwork you have to do. And so, you have to do similar paperwork in your private practice, but you can own your own time as far as be flexible with your time. I always say the goal is not to work harder, but it's to work smarter. For those who don't know, I do not work a full work week. I only work 4 days out of the week, and I work less, but from a financial aspect, I get paid more. So that's another thing. But you get to own your own time, and you get to have a better sense of autonomy. And that means your individuality. So whenever you're in a business world, you need to niche down. You can work with so many different people from so many different walks of life, but there'll be a core group of people that you are assigned to. When you're working for someone else, you don't have the same level of autonomy that you would have working for yourself. So that means you kind of have to just go with the agency that you're working for, that kind of dictates. Now again, I never speak ill of the previous agency that I worked for. I've had some doozies, I've had some experiences, honey, in different agencies, but for the most part, it was the people were really, really good. But there are certain things that dictated the clients that I would see. Sometimes it's because I, at that time, was a Medicare provider. I'm still a Medicare provider, but I was the only LCSW that took Medicare. So, and so I just had to see Medicare clients, whether or not they fit or not. Sometimes whoever has availability on their schedule. So a lot of times when it's like whatever that happened, you just see whoever it was. But you have better autonomy because you don't turn people away for any different reason, but you have a better autonomy to really advertise who your niches are. And for those who don't know, when I started my journey into entrepreneurship, I started being a trauma therapist. That's what I was known for. And I've explained this before, but I explained it again. I was a trauma therapist. I work with kids as young as three, all the way. I think the oldest client I had was probably in their mid-80s. This is a trauma cases. And I was okay with that. On the backside, on my free time, I would always study like leadership development, taking leadership courses. And I did that just because that's what I study on my own time. That's kind of what I do for fun. I'm that nerd that wants to study and take a course. And I'll just do that to do the most. But I just naturally thought that I would retire early and I would start my own consulting business, where I would go into different agencies and consult from a leadership perspective. And what happened was, how God did, this is a God thing, is that I started my private practice, and very, very few people who had a trauma background actually came to me. Most of them, even now, I don't have a lot of trauma based clients. Most of them were in leadership, CEOs, bivocational ministers, things of that nature. And so I saw how God took these two passions that I had. And I had no idea that I would serve this community or these niche down clients until I opened my private practice. And I never forget. And I'm going the long way, y'all. I had all these different folks come out. And at first, I thought it was because I accepted private insurance, and I was like, "Oh Lord, okay." And then I remember thinking to myself, so many people are broken trying to lead. I actually wrote a whole book on it, a series of books, I have training courses related broken trying to lead. And I never forget kind of having this aha moment, like, oh, this is why these people are showing up at my office. These are my next demographic. So I say we have a better autonomy as far as your you can kind of change and evolve. Sometimes you can get stuck in how people view you when you work for someone else, and you get stuck in that mode. When I first started off many moons ago, I've always been a very quiet person. I've always been a shy person, and so sometimes people, if you don't come across as confident, or if you're kind of shy, you get stuck in this place, and people see you the way in which you presented years ago. They don't see the change that's happened. And you have to kind of make yourself a little bit more known. I wasn't interested in that. So now I can provide supervision. I can again train other people, and I can niche down because again, I'm not really identifying as of right now. I've transitioned to a different demographic. I'm not necessarily a trauma-based therapist anymore. I still see some clients that are trauma-based, but majority of the people that I see are in some type of leadership or have a leadership call. I'm also able to have better autonomy to incorporate my faith believers and things like that into my private practice now, where I was not able to do that as much then. And that's okay. So I say all that to say, to give you an example, better autonomy, individuality, you can grow and not stay stuck in a specific place, in a specific space, because you have to, when you're working for age, you got to kind of go along with what they expect of you as much. So along with autonomy, there are better chances to growing, you have more chances really to grow because you can evolve in a different kind of way, and then seek out your own trainings and your own mentorship and your own people that are in line with what you are right now. The person Samaria was 5 years ago is not the person Samaria is now. The person that started off many moons ago in my early 20s is not the same person that I am in my 40s, but I've had more opportunities to grow because I am the captain of the ship. And you get what I'm saying, darling. Okay, let's keep it going. Another point of better pros and cons. And let me address this. I think for me, again, I do have a growth mindset. So I always look at personal, professional, mental health, emotional, spiritual health. How can I continue to grow? And now I'm having more freedom of my time. It helps me to begin to continue to work on my growth, my own healing. It gives me more time to be able to do that, be flexible with that. Better self-care. That's another pro. Better self-care. And you can imagine, I've been very transparent. I'm not getting many hints. I'm working on it, Dale. I'm working on it. Because for previous years, for many, many moons, I was always working. Okay. Always working. I was that girl. So from 8 to 5, I was working at my agency. From 5 to 8, 9, sometime later than that, I was working in my private practice. And then I messed around and became a PhD student. So I'm not even including all these books I've written. I wrote that one out, the courses that I've written. And so, I didn't really always take care of myself as the best as I should. And so now, being a full-time entrepreneur, again, I still work hard, but it's not about working harder again. It is about working smarter. And so I'm ever able to take care of my self-care. I love to work out. You can't tell it, but I'm working on it, y'all. I'm working on it, okay? I can take better care of my time. I'm not a cook, but I can eat healthier meals. I'm not always just like stop by something, get grab something, keep moving because I've got to, I can have better self-care. I can rest a little more. Believe it or not, and I heard this term, go with me here, it's gonna sound crazy, but as I was bringing into the new year, I rested a lot and I kept hearing the Lord say, rest in peace, rest in peace. Now, most of us think rest in peace, we think somebody dead. No, not over here. Not over here, darling. We not resting nobody's peace. Not as a dead, but it was saying that it's okay to rest and be in peace. Oftentimes when you go through things, you're going through life stressors and things, and you got to keep going and going. Rest is a part of that equation to help you to heal. Now, rest does not always mean sleeping. I'm not a long sleeper. I'm not a long sleeper, but you can rest a little bit more and take better care of yourself and have more peace because I'm not constantly and not constantly going and going and going and going. Again, the pro going back to what I said is self-discipline. You can't be lazy. Having your own business does not mean being lazy. It just you have to be more self-discipline versus someone where your time is very strategic and what you have to do with it and all that kind of stuff. So this is why I'm still very organized. I have things I need to accomplish in the day. And that's another thing you can do, which I don't have in my notes, but you can accomplish so much more, so much sooner. I just finished my first book of the year. I know I have writing projects that God wants me to write. I'm going to start the second one before the end of this month, but the first one will go through the first round drafts. But I really thought that it would take me until the end of the month to completely finish this project that I'm working on. I absolutely love it. It's another book that I have completed. I thought it would take me to the end, at least to the end of the month. I'm a very quick writer, but I write solid. I write solid. But I just finished that on my days off. So I always say this because I can be flexible with my time. I'm not always physically in the office working on therapy stuff. The days that I have off, I tend to do things that I love. I work on my writing projects, create courses, create workbooks. Those are what I do so I can flex my time and say, on these days, I'm not going to go into my office. I'm able to do this here. Okay. But I was able to finish that so much sooner. And so I'm grateful to have all these projects that I want to accomplish this year, but I feel good about not thinking, oh, how I'm gonna get it done. God provides a way. A con is that you are solely responsible. Now resting in Jesus and knowing he's ultimately the CEO, he's the one we answer to, but you are solely responsible. If people don't like you, they can't go to a supervisor. I mean, I'm still licensed, but if you don't like me, you leave me a bad review because I wouldn't do something that's it falls on me. And so it's difficult when you're solely responsible because you have to make these decisions on your own. I can't go and say, let me contact my supervisor. Let me contact my clinical such and such such. And I know the answers to all these things, but sometimes when you're working for AZ a long time, it's really good to be able to fall back and say, well, my supervisor, hey, and if your supervisor has your back, when you on your own, handy, when it's you, there's no supervisor to call. the licensing board that I'm under is is very supportive, but I don't this is a licensing board that licenses everybody in the state of North Carolina, so you can't go there for clinical issues. You need to have a clinical supervisor if you got to keep going doing all that. But you are solely responsible. You have to make sure that you're on your A game. So we get emails and text messages, not text messages, really emails about different contracts and changes within the state and changes in that regulation and having to stay on top of that, having to stay on top of referrals and insurances and all that. Even though we have services to help us out, I don't give clients reminder calls. I don't really schedule my own clients. You have to go to the website, but it does take time, and you do have to be solely responsible for all of that. Okay, and if someone doesn't like you, if someone doesn't like the organization, they don't like you. You understand? All right. Pros and cons is the finances are much better. Not gonna go into detail about that. Like I said, finances are way better, but you have to keep a better eye on finances because you figure taxes, costs of different things. I said before when God told me to move into this place, I love this organization. Not this organization. I love my organization, but I love my office. But I had to the last office I was a part of. Some things already came first. Like I had a whole desk, office chair, cabinet, stuff like that. It wasn't that big of a, it wasn't like a fully furnished, but it had some furniture. When I came up in here, I had to furnish everything. It came with the walls, honey. Okay. So I had to keep an eye on my finances, how much I was spending, all that kind of stuff. You have to keep a better eye on your finances versus if you're working for someone else, you know, every 2 weeks or once a month, you're gonna get a check. Well, you on your own, honey. When it's just you and the Lord, you got to do that on your own. Again, nothing wrong with that. Okay. Also, people. Sometimes people assume that, and I'm gonna talk about this a little bit. Sometimes people assume that when you have your own, that you don't work, or that your time is free, or that you just, you know, or they just, people make assumptions. They make assumptions, okay? They just make huge assumptions. Anything goes, you know. I've had to learn to be firm. These are my standards, and if you're not going to follow these instructions, listen, I wish you well, and I hope that your future pursuits gives you what you need. I'm not the person for you. I will stand on business, and it is what it is. You know, if you cannot follow instructions concerning this, this is not the person. I'm not the person for you. So having to stand on that and not allow yourself to be manipulated a little more, because I'm the only person who can fall back on me and Jesus. You understand? A better balance, a better balanced life. Pros, better balanced life. Being able to reestablish yourself. For me, I was working so hard. There's certain relationships that I didn't really nurture because I was always working. Like, what's the marriage number? You know, you get to the point where your little single friends, they get married. They do, or they find somebody. Or they don't, you don't get invited because you, what's the married and working? And I'm not a last minute person. So I wouldn't have that friend. You can be like, hey, we're gonna meet some X, Y, and Z at Friday at 6. You won't come. Like I wasn't ever that girl for many, 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 many years because on Friday I'm booked up. Like, you know what I mean? Like I'm not a last minute girl. So so relationships I did not really foster, and I feel like I have my life back, and I'm open to relationships now. This is a whole other issue that we had nothing to do with entrepreneurship. I've had to learn that everybody that comes into your life and smiles in your face ain't from God. They're not from God. And people take advantage sometimes. That's a whole different issue that's not had nothing to do with entrepreneurship. Sometimes people take your kindness as weakness and learn to navigate all that. But when you have more time, you can be self-reflective to say, how do I show up in relationships and who do I want to be now? And that's okay. That's okay. You know, Joel Osteen said, I know Joel Osteen, y'all. Joel Osteen said, you're expected to cross rivers for people who wouldn't cross a puddle for you. And when you're able to sit with yourself and have time, you can really sit down and see patterns in your own life and make adjustments and changes for your own betterment. But that comes with having more time, better balance. You still work hard. I was saying, depending on what type of business you have, I see these YouTubers and they have overflow, overflow, overflow. So there's different levels of prosperity as it relates to your own kingdom assignment. There's barely enough, there's just enough. And there's more than enough. And so sometimes when you say you're a full-time entrepreneur, people think wealthy. On my way now. I'm on my way. But and so sometimes you still have to work hard. But there is, you know, I don't. And I was saying last time, don't look at these YouTubers. Again, I'm not judging. That's just not my story. I can't go in and ball out like I want to. I always have to keep track of my finances and my budgets and all those things. But you do still work hard depending upon what type of business that you have. And you do get to a place where your residuals pay, your things pay. I'm not there as much now. Okay. I'm working on that one, but rather right now, thank you. I'm a full-time entrepreneur. So that's all right. Full transparent. I don't want to overhype myself up. Okay. Another pro and con is a lot of information, emails, keeping up with contracts, following up with what people need, following up with requests and all those kinds of things. It can be a bit jarring, but you can do it. It's not overwhelming. One of the pros and cons is that when you work for yourself, you can better, what's the word I'm looking for? Has systems in place. There is not, you still have to do some paperwork that is regulated by the state, that's regulated by your clinical understanding and practice. However, the level of the foolery of paperwork when you work for somebody else, no shade if you know other states work for, the level of paperwork is just astronomical. After a while, a guitar, you gotta complete your setup and then fill this out and then fill this form out and then fill out this survey. And then if you want to refer to a higher level of care, you gotta do this and keep track of insurances and all that. And it's just like, you got to be kidding me. When you work for yourself, you still have to understand, but you don't have to fill out 101 million trillion pieces of paperwork. Even with like some like authorizations that I have, I can put my authorizations in my electronic medical record in my, and it reminds me how many sessions a client has. It reminds me, when I need to seek re-auth, all those things, because it's automated. When you work for yourself, oftentimes you can be on the cutting edge of new technologies and what is expected now, where when you work for someone else, it takes them so long to make decisions. When you work for yourself, you audit the decision making, you figure out what's going on, you make sure it's compliant with this thing, and then you just go. I don't have to do 50, 11 million things. Doesn't take me, my I have to do mental health evaluations and assessments. It's not a 27-page document. It's not, and so you're better able to use your own clinical judgment. But 50, 11 million, emails. Also, you can I said niche down, but I never turn anyone away from my organization for superficial reasons. I would never do that. But you don't have to take every client that comes in. For me, I do an evaluation and I determine whether or not it's a good fit. Once I do that, I do a warm transfer, but I don't get have to see someone. I can technically say, hey, this is not a good fit. This is what you need. Because sometimes people need a higher level of care. And I'm able to do what we call a warm transfer to say, hey, this is the organization. Let's sign a consent form. I'm going to send this over to them. Let me get you in contact with them because what you need, I cannot offer. And that is okay to be able to kind of not feel like you have to take someone that it's just not a good fit for. Last thing here is pros. Well, this is a con here. This is jealous people. Unfortunately, people don't see how hard you work, and you will see people, and I've said this that are jealous. And I think if I can think of the last few seasons of my life that I had to go through some really, really tough times, some hard times. I'm forgiven, I'm moving forward, but I had to kind of rethink what was going on. And I had people to come against my mental health. I had people be jealous of me, envious of me, talk down upon me, spread lies about me, spread rumors about me, smear campaigns. I mean, a lot of the things I experienced, I've gone through because people think, oh, it's just easy. You just show up one day. And you get people who are very jealous, and they're so jealous, it turns into envy. And I always say, jealousy is, I don't like your stuff. Envy, I'm going to do something about it. And I've had to experience that. And that's just even before I became a full-time entrepreneur. It's just that what happened is, and I said this a long time ago, the things, the demonic agendas, the people, because we fight not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against spiritual wickedness in high place, the people that come against you, the spirit that they're operating on, it does not stop you, but it can be very hard and painful to see that spirit of jealousy, that Cain mentality, when people are so jealous of you, they want to see you fail. And then they want other people to know that you fail. It's a disheartening thing, but you heal from it. But you do, no matter what you do, no matter how successful you are, no matter how hard you work, because when you worked hard for it and it wasn't handed to you, you have a little different resolve. People do get jealous. And last con is fear. It's fear. Because when you're stepping out, it can be scary. You're like, oh my God, even if you crossed every I had a plan, finally making that jump, it's fearful. But guess what Joyce Meyer said? Do it anyway. Once you have sought wise counsel and you've done your due diligence, fear still comes. You could be making the right decision and fear is still there. You just have to don't allow fear to run your life. And it was scary. I mean, I didn't tell a story. When I first submitted, I submitted my resume 2 or 3 times. I submitted that, then I resended it, then I submitted it again, then I resended it, then I finally submitted it again. I'm like, I'm telling myself, I'm not gonna do that enough to get out that church 1 time. I was like, I'm gonna go home. And I don't even log into my work email when I was working at ACE. I was like, I'm gonna go home. And by the time I got, I had to tell myself, I'm gonna submit this resignation letter and I'm not reneging on it. And I did, and God didn't speak to me. God, I knew this was I was making the right decision, but God didn't tell me to after I submitted it, and that was it. That it was gonna be okay, and I'm so grateful. And so again, I would encourage you, just take the leap, an educated leap. When it's time, make sure it's God. I purchased my a training course called From Practitioner Business Owner. This is for specifically for a licensed clinicians. Okay. It's not for coaches, not for people who but for people who want to take that leap and you're in the healthcare field. I think that other people who are in maybe not a clinician, but you're in some type of healthcare where you're licensed and it's a regulated field, I think you can really benefit from that. It is at a cost, but it's worth every penny. You should be able to look at that from start to finish. It's about a 2 hour training and be able to start your private practice from there. And of course, do consulting after that. All right, y'all. Thank you. Like, comment, subscribe. Check me out at www.samarycobra.com. That training course is located there. Also, www.trainingchristianleaders.com. If you're located in the state of North Carolina, www.kingdomcreativecounseling.com. We do accept most insurances, including most EAPs. God bless you. We're back in the day and the time of the banger, y'all. Bye, y'all. Bye.